starting a new series this morning, series entitled Chosen. And it occurred to me that the things that we're going to be looking at, the topics of chosen, so chosen to speak, chosen to lead, are all characteristics of a new minister that we might be looking for. So I'm hoping that as we go through this series, we shall be given characteristics to look for in our new minister. I'm hoping that God will speak to us in that way, and maybe we can use these sermons as ways of praying into the selection of our new minister. So over the next couple of months, we'll be looking at Aaron, Samuel, Esther, David, John the Baptist, and indeed Jesus himself, to help us learn what it is to be chosen by God and used for his purposes. So this morning, we're looking at Aaron. Yesterday, I had the privilege of going to Derby Cathedral. So I was interested that you asked us to join together in reading the psalm, because that's very Church of England, in my mind anyway. So I was ready for it. At Derby Cathedral yesterday, we were privileged to witness my sister Judy being licensed as a lay reader. She is now one of 8,500 that minister to take services in the Church of England. And she's been licensed for a couple of parishes on the outskirts of Derby. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4 says, "No one takes this honour on themselves, but receives it when called by God, as Aaron was." So what a privilege that both Judy and I have this morning to minister God's word into the lives of the members of our churches. And it's with those thoughts that as I look into God's word and consider the topics set before us, that I pray the words of Psalm 19, verse 14. "May the words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." So my plan for this morning is that we shall be thinking about Aaron's, the choosing of Aaron. We shall be looking a bit at his life as the voice of Moses, and at his role in the leadership of the Israelite migrants. That seems to be the popular word for what they were. They were migrants from Egypt to the Promised Land. And their journey in doing so was as long then as some of the migrant journeys are today. And we'll consider some of the lessons we can learn from Aaron's life and ministry. Shakespeare wrote, "Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is often interred with their bones." I'm sure those words are familiar to you, words used by Mark Antony to begin a speech in which to commemorate the life of Julius Caesar, but also to point the finger of blame and to discredit Brutus, the honourable man. But we're not here this morning for an exposition on the play Julius Caesar. We're here to look at the choosing of Aaron as the spokesman of Moses. But it was those words of Mark Antony which came into my mind as I began to think about Aaron, as I began to think about what I knew about Aaron and his life and his ministry as one of the leaders of the Israelites. So my first thoughts about Aaron were not of the good things he had done, but for those events in which he was at fault. The first thought I had about Aaron were that he was involved in the manufacture of the golden calf, but more of that later. What is it about the bad things that people do that make those events live long in the memory? What is it that the bad things we do that make them live long in our memories? So our reading this morning, which Sarah kindly read to us, was about God choosing Aaron as the voice piece of Moses, the spokesperson of Moses. But you can see from that reading that Aaron was essentially God's backup plan. Aaron was chosen to speak, chosen as an aid to Moses, since Moses was reluctant to take on the role for which God had chosen him. That is, for Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And we heard how Moses claimed that he was slow of speech. I guess 40 years in the desert tending the sheep herds may limit your opportunities for conversation. And what follows next establishes God's purpose for the rest of Aaron's life. Exodus 4, verses 14 to 17 read, "Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, 'What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you.'" Aaron was one of three notable Levites born during the captivity in Egypt, the other two being Moses and Miriam. Miriam was their sister. Exodus 7, verse 7 tells us that Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. Still, it was Moses the Lord chose to lead his people out of Egypt. They were both men with a serious amount of experience behind them. Aaron, at the time God chose him to be Moses' spokesperson, was reckoned to be 83. Moses was 3 years younger, so that would make him 80. So when God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, Moses was already 80 years old. But of all the Israelites, it was Aaron that God said, "I know he can speak well." Of all the Israelites, it was Aaron God chose to be Moses' right-hand man. Of all the Israelites, it was Aaron who had the responsibility to prophesy to Pharaoh about the plagues and to demonstrate God's power through signs and wonders, events which eventually caused Pharaoh to become convinced and obey God's command to let my people go. Of all the Israelites, other than Moses, only Aaron was invited to climb Mount Sinai. You can read about that in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 24. That invitation occurred just before God gave Moses the tablets of the law. Of all the Israelites, it was Aaron who God chose to be high priest. And you can read about his ordination in Leviticus chapters 8 and 9. It was Aaron's staff, not Moses' staff, that was placed in the Ark of the Covenant with the Ten Commandments and the jar of manna. Such was the esteem in which God held his servant Aaron that those privileges were given to him. So you can see from those things that if we were to look at the life of Aaron as a whole, there's an extraordinary amount of good that might be interred with his bones. On the other hand, there are three incidents which stand out on the other side of his balance sheet as the evil that he did, which lives on. Firstly, it was Aaron who made the golden calf. Exodus chapter 32 tells us that Aaron was responsible for making it. He made the calf out of gold jewelry to appease the Israelites when their impatience got the better of them and they weren't prepared to wait for Moses for 40 days and 40 nights to come down from Mount Sinai. In Aaron's mind, it may simply have represented the place where the Lord God sat, but that idea quickly flew out of the window. Instead, the people worshipped the calf itself. It was their new idol, their new God. how fickle, how foolish, how rebellious. And when Moses returned, he rebuked Aaron in no uncertain terms. What did these people do to you that led you into such great sin? That's Exodus chapter 32, verse 21. This was an incident that showed the frail nature of Aaron's personality. An incident which showed the weak commitment of the people of Israel to the God that brought them out of slavery. An incident in which Aaron didn't lose the priesthood for his part in the Israelites' idolatry, but he did lose an opportunity to lead the people closer to their one true God. Secondly, in Numbers chapter 12, we're told of Aaron and Miriam opposing Moses by talking against him and criticizing his choice of wife. In the text of Numbers 12, it's Miriam who is mentioned first, and it's Miriam who, on the face of it, receives the punishment of God, for she is diseased with leprosy as a result. But it was Aaron who interceded on Miriam's behalf, asking Moses to pray for Miriam to be healed. And God listened. And whilst Miriam was exiled outside the camp for 7 days, she was healed and allowed to return. We might wonder why Aaron was spared such punishment, but it may not be clear to us. But God sees both the event, and he also sees any motives behind it. God sees our actions, and he also knows the underlying attitudes and motives which govern them. So it may be that God spared Aaron, because whilst he was weak and went along with it, God did not hold him responsible. It's worth remembering that God will respond justly to every time when he punishes people as they rightly deserve for their actions and motives. At the time, it doesn't always make sense to us, or it doesn't seem fair, but God will never act unjustly to anyone. If only it was as easy to see the reasons things happen in our daily life as it is in Scripture. But because it isn't, we should never assume anything, but always trust in the Lord. For only he is able to weigh everything, seen and unseen, meeting every people where they are with what they deserve. And thirdly, Aaron, like Moses, was not allowed to enter the promised land. Aaron and Moses were asked to provide water for the Israelites at Meribah. We're told in Numbers chapter 20 that the Israelites needed water, and God told Aaron and Moses to speak to the rock and it would release its water. I'm afraid Moses' anger got the better of him, and in front of the Israelites, he struck the rock with his staff. He displayed the wrong attitude. He didn't display the holiness of God. And whilst God still provided the water, the result was that God wouldn't allow Moses or Aaron to enter the promised land. So those were three things that showed us that Aaron was a human being. His story is not all about good things. There's a balance on both sides. And his story is told in those three books, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. But that's not where his story ends, for his name appears 45 more times in the Old Testament, in 1 and 2 Chronicles, and as we heard last week, his name appeared in the Psalms. And his name appears 5 times in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, Acts chapter 7, verse 40, Hebrews 5, verse 4, as we've referenced early this morning, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11, and Hebrews 9, verse 4. And it's interesting to note that in Luke chapter 1, verse 5, Aaron is recorded as an ancestor of Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother. So what can we learn about Aaron's life and ministry? I guess for me, there are 3 things that we can learn from God's choosing of Aaron. Firstly, age is no barrier to serving God. So we may not be chosen to be the leader. We may be chosen to be the support person, the sidekick, the Robin to someone else's Batman. But whatever the role God has chosen for us, we need to put our heart and soul into it. And listening to God's voice, work to ensure that God's will is fulfilled. The events of Aaron's life, which are documented in those 3 books, are set out as examples of leadership of God's people. They're set out as examples for both the leadership of God's church and for the membership of God's church. They're there as both warnings and hope that when the people of God listen to his word and consider his ways, then there will be great joy both in this life and in the one to come. It was interesting yesterday that towards the end of the service, the bishop came forward to stand in front of the congregation, and not those people who were both already lay readers or the people who had just been licensed, and actually spoke to them. So let me speak to you this morning in the same way. Now, has God been speaking to you? Has God been speaking to you about speaking for him? Let me invite you, if he has, to speak to one of the deacons. Or if you're not at that stage yet, and it's still early, then pray. Find somebody to pray with. Prayer ministry team will be here at the front at the end of the service. Pray with one of them. And then Don't take Moses as an example. Don't argue with God. He will find somebody to speak, but he might speak more effectively through you. It seemed to me that Aaron didn't, once they were out of Egypt, Aaron wasn't the one that Moses used to speak. He spoke to the Israelites himself, and he was in direct conversation with God, the only one of the prophets that God met face to face. So I'd like to finish with a quote from a commentator on Aaron's ministry. You know, many people today clamor for a God they can fashion after their own image and a religion they can fashion that meets what they think are their real needs. When they can't see or understand God's mysterious ways, they redefine him to fit their own understanding. As a result, they create futile idols of the imagination. You and I can sympathize with others as they wrestle with the unexplained parts of life and God's mysterious ways. But unlike Aaron, we must not give in to the pressure to remake God just to make them feel better. Instead, we're called to hold forth God's word and wait for him to reveal himself and his ways in his time.